The 787 may get its FAA papers today. Bombardier is losing the head of its C-Series program. And doctors in Canada want pets banned from airliner cabins. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, August 26th, 2011. Fans and executives of Boeing commercial airplanes are on the edge of their seats today. The company says it expects the FAA to issue a type certificate for the long-awaited 787 Dreamliner sometime today. Certification testing wrapped up last weekend. The first customer to take delivery will be All Nippon Airways in Japan, and Boeing still says that first delivery will happen next month. They may be popping a cork on Martinelli's instead of champagne, though, to control costs. Analysts say Boeing won't make a profit on the Dreamliner until 1,000 are sold, which will take till 2016, even if all goes well. Boeing says it has orders for more than 800 Dreamliners and will be cranking out 10 per month if politics don't keep its new South Carolina assembly plant offline. Bombardier said Wednesday that Gary Scott, its commercial aviation division president, is going to retire October 1st. The 61-year-old Scott was a longtime Boeing executive who joined Bombardier in 2004 to spearhead the development of the C-Series single-aisle airliner, which will compete with Boeing and Airbus. Scott says the program, quote, is tracking well, and with the program at this advanced stage, I feel very comfortable leaving it in the capable hands of my colleagues so I can devote more time to my family, unquote. Gary seems more at ease with his decision than the company is. Scott Ratti, a transportation analyst at Stonecap Securities, says the major decisions for the program have all been made, and only basic execution remains to bring the plane to market, but he adds, quote, having said that, replacing someone of his level of experience and recognition within the industry is going to be a very large challenge for Bombardier, unquote. Guy Hatchie, who's president and CEO of Bombardier Aerospace, will fill in until a replacement is named. Boeing has its own retirement opening to fill. Brewster H. Shaw, a former Air Force combat pilot and former flight instructor, test pilot, shuttle pilot, and commander, who went on to senior leadership roles within NASA, is retiring from his position as VP and general manager of Boeing's Space Exploration Division. Shaw has led all of Boeing's civil space programs since 2006. John Elbin, Space Exploration VP and Program Manager of Commercial Programs, will be his successor. Boeing says it will announce Elbin's replacement in the coming weeks. The NTSB is out with a preliminary report on that J-3 Cub that came down in Lake Winnebago on the opening day of EAA Air Venture last month. Both occupants of that plane died. The accident aircraft was on a sightseeing flight with another Cub with two pilots on board. Those two witnesses say the pilot of the accident plane attempted a hammerhead over the lake, went inverted, and never recovered. NTSB's final report on probable cause will likely be out sometime next summer. Doctors in Canada are reportedly seeking a ban on pets in passenger cabins on airline flights in that country. The Montreal Gazette reports that Dr. Mark Schoenfeld of British Columbia, speaking at a Canadian Medical Association annual assembly in St. John's, commented, quote, while airlines argue that this is a great convenience for pet owners, the practice actually exposes our patients and their passengers to significant allergens that can make the journey very difficult and occasionally quite seriously ill as a result. People have to travel with EpiPens, adrenaline, bronchodilators, and antibiotics. Some people end up having their entire holidays ruined, unquote. Delegates to the meeting reportedly voted 93% in favor of the ban. As is the case in restaurants and other public places, service animals such as guide dogs would still be allowed. Most of us can recall a pilot friend who at one time or another has taken an automotive GPS flying to save a few bucks over the gold-plated aviation versions. Well, now things may be migrating the other way. Adventure Pilot LLC has partnered with iGo Navigation to create a new road navigation add-on with 3D visuals and voice-guided turn-by-turn driving directions for its iFly 70 Aviation GPS, which was introduced last year. The 7-inch touchscreen device retails for $549 and offers U.S. sectionals, IFR low en route charts, airport diagrams, approach plates, and more, with subscription updates starting at $69 per year. iFly Streets will have a small one-time fee for new purchases. Existing iFly GPS owners will also have an upgrade option through the iFlyGPS.com store as well. The price for the Streets package was not indicated yet on the company's website. Adventure Pilot President Walter Boyd explains, quote, "We continue to listen to current iFly owners as well as potential buyers, working diligently to add new features such as iFly Streets to the iFly GPS. This truly makes the iFly GPS a beautiful addition to any pilot's flight bag and ensures unprecedented value," unquote. Up next on ANN, at least two major airlines found a way around Chicago's high taxes. Reading a book on antique aircraft apparently makes you a terrorist now. And a unique ceremony will be an attraction at a Georgia air show. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for Friday, August 26th. I'm Paul Plack. If you've ever shaken your fist at local governments that sock it to travelers who have no choice but to pay taxes to fly through their airports, this may be a rare opportunity to feel a kinship with executives of the big airlines. The city of Chicago has a sales tax as high as 9.75%. So United and American Airlines buy their fuel through subsidiaries in the small town of Sycamore, Illinois, and it has saved them as much as $12 to $14 million in taxes since 2004. Illinois has a quirk in its tax law that makes sales tax applicable wherever an offer to sell is accepted, not where the product is actually delivered. The Chicago Tribune reports this has turned into a boon for small-town tax havens such as Sycamore, which has enacted tax rebate agreements with airline subsidiaries United Aviation Fuel Corp. and American Aviation Supply LLC to officially sell the fuel in Sycamore for dispensing it to aircraft at Chicago O'Hare. Chicago's Regional Transit Authority is facing a deficit, and the discovery of the tax deals for the airlines has bureaucrats fit to be tied. Mayor Rahm Emanuel complains, quote, "Companies are gaming the system and cheating Chicago's taxpayers. I have to be the voice for the taxpayers, and I will not tolerate this," unquote. Last Sunday, the Tribune reported that dozens of other companies, ranging from catalog houses to oil and computer companies, were shifting the official point of purchase for their products from the Chicago area to outlying cities such as Kankakee and Shanahan. Both those cities have been named in a lawsuit filed Tuesday by the city and the RTA. So far, Sycamore has not been named in a lawsuit, but Chicago officials say they're now targeting those airline deals. Sycamore City Manager Bill Nicholas insists to the Tribune, quote, "We're confident of our legal standing and will defend it all day," unquote. If you fly to Oshkosh next year aboard a United Airlines flight, whatever you do, don't get caught reading any books about aircraft. Apparently that makes you a terrorist suspect now. Vance Gilbert, a musician, says he boarded United Airlines Flight 3483 from Boston to Dulles on time and was seated in an aisle seat on the Embraer 170. On his website, he says he had a fanny pack behind his legs, and a flight attendant asked if he would put it in the overhead bin. He said his wallet was inside, and he'd prefer to stow it under the seat in front of him, and says he did so without incident. Then, he opened and started reading a book about Polish aircraft of the 1940s. In Gilbert's own words, things went downhill from there. Quote, "The plane went all the way out to the takeoff point, in the queue for takeoff. All the while, I noticed a lot of phone pinging back and forth between the flight attendants. The plane then proceeded to turn around and head all the way back to the gate. The captain announced, 'We have a minor issue and we will continue our departure once it's resolved.' After about 5 to 10 minutes, two Mass State policemen, one or two TSA agents, and the bursar for the flight come down the aisle and motion me to get off the plane. I don't remember if they called me by name. We stepped out into the breezeway where one of the state policemen asked how I was doing that day," unquote. Long story short, by the time the authorities figured out Gilbert had been singled out not for studying how to sabotage an E-170, but for his antique aircraft hobby, he was allowed back on the flight. But he missed his connection, which cost him money to rent a car in order to make his gig. He comments, quote, I silently wept the whole flight to D.C. I've never been so frightened or humiliated. I'm shaking even writing this. How much money was lost between the airline, the other travelers, I couldn't begin to calculate. How damaged am I from this experience? I'm not feeling particularly American. I'm angry, dumbfounded, frightened." Unquote. On his website, Gilbert is openly soliciting for a hungry lawyer who'd like to get involved in making this out to be racial profiling. United is blaming its codeshare partner. Airline spokesman Charles Hobart emailed a statement to the Boston Globe, which says in part, quote, "The service Mr. Gilbert described does not reflect the experience we aim to deliver our customers. We are reaching out to Mr. Gilbert and to Shuttle America, the United Express carrier that operated the flight, to better understand what occurred and to ensure Mr. Gilbert knows we value his business," unquote. Robert J. Miller Air Park in Toms River, New Jersey, has succeeded in taking another incremental step in the eventual addition of a crosswind runway. The FAA has awarded a grant of $299,000 to fund design of the crosswind alternative to the existing runway 624, and that would require another $7 million to actually build it out. South Jersey Regional Airport got a $480,000 grant to revise its master plan. But perhaps just as exciting in the current political climate, both New Jersey's Democratic U.S. senators have spoken out in favor of the value of aviation to the state's overall economic well-being while jointly announcing the grant. Senator Frank Lautenberg commented, quote, "Having up-to-date and reliable airports will help meet the traveling needs of residents, keep local businesses thriving, and make our state a more attractive destination," unquote. Senator Robert Menendez added, quote, "Modern and efficient airports are the key to our economic competitiveness and traveler safety," unquote. Nothing about fat cats in there anywhere. The Asbury Park Press cites Ocean County Administrator Carl W. Block in reporting the next step in the process will be getting a memo of agreement among the Board of Freeholders, the FAA, the Pinelands Commission, and the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection. He says that's expected sometime this fall. And finally today, the American Heroes Air Show calls itself the U.S.'s premier aviation event devoted exclusively to helicopters. The show returns to Canton, Georgia, outside Atlanta, on Saturday, September 10th. Event director Mike Greer, who works in law enforcement, says of the helicopter pilots, quote, "Often when we come in contact with someone, it's when they're having what may be the worst day of their lives. This air show provides the public with a unique chance to spend time with crews and learn about their mission and capabilities. That gives me a great feeling," unquote. The event also offers the American Anthem presentation. This is different. It invites the community to participate in a ceremony as serving military members recite their oath of allegiance and become U.S. citizens. Greer says he's been working for months with the team from U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services on the scheduling and presentation details. Find out more about this unique air show on the web at heroes-airshow.com. That's the latest from Aero News. Those of you along the East Coast in the path of Irene, we'll keep you in our thoughts and prayers the next couple days. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.